You're listening to a Chicks Talking Footy podcast on Joy 94.9. What's not to like about that?
Welcome, one and all.
Talking about anxiety can be the best way to get through it.
Very special radiothon edition of Chicks Talking Footy. You're with Fee, that's myself. Motty.
That's myself.
And Beck, fresh off the sick bay and our very own flu shot in the studio.
I was a bit worried, actually, because it's the rookie draft next week, and I thought if I was away for any longer, you'd put me on the long-term injury list and draft someone else.
We would. We'd get a younger, fresher.
Stop where you are.
I've been insulting people all day. What's going on?
Don't skite about it, mate.
Anyway, we need to talk about Radiothon because it is a very special week on the Joy calendar where we ask you to join up, become a member, donate. And we've got some great incentives for you. Not only do you win some great prizes through Joy, or can win some great prizes through Joy and have some great incentives, such as a 12-week money makeover. And that's donated by Clover Financial, valued at
$1,200. There's some football clubs that could do with that.
Yes, that's right. And there's also some trips to LA. There's all sorts of things that you can win.
Hampstead Dental. You get a voucher when you sign up.
Yeah, $200 voucher.
That's good.
The membership pays for itself.
Better get you a clean.
Sorry, we are a football show. We'll get to that.
Yes.
That's right. I just want to do a quick shout out too, because we have had a couple of members just in the last few minutes. Simon from St Kilda, he says, love your work, Joy. He's joined up. And we've also had Matthew from Frankston.
On you, Matthew.
So thanks, guys. We really appreciate you signing up to Joy and supporting the station that we bring you. Let's face it, these days you need some independent media.
Correct.
And we've also got some special prizes that have been given especially for our show. So if you sign up and maybe even if you throw in a mention to Chicks Talking Footy.
Well, if you sign up in the next 55 minutes.
55 minutes.
Oh, 54 and a half.
54 and a half minutes down.
You can win a North Melbourne Football Club Guernsey signed by the captain and vice-captains.
That's unreal. Money can't buy a prize.
That's right. And also the Hawks have donated their Pride beanie that's been very popular.
I mean, money can buy that, but still
money
a good prize.
Money can buy it, but you can get it as part of your membership if you sign up through Chicks Talking Footy. Rainbow Crows have donated their scarf, and of course Carlton Pride have donated their scarf as well. So if you sign up, and look, you might not barrack for those teams, but you probably know someone who does.
Correct.
Well, and they'll love you forever.
Well, that's right. Great birthday present.
So anyone that signs up in our show goes in the draw for one of those footy prizes.
Wonderful. Now, let's talk about football. So on tonight's show, we're going to review round 9.
That's happened very quickly.
It has. It feels like, well, what are we? That's more than a third of the way through the season.
Correct.
We're heading into halfway. Mm. Heading into the halfway mark. We're also going to, Muddy and I emceed the Bulldogs, not the Bulldogs, the Purple Bombers and Bulldogs Pride.
Yes.
In Ida Hobbit event last Thursday night at Witten Oval. And we met someone lovely called Jade DeMont. And she's the manager of the diversity inclusion area at North Melbourne Football Club. But she's going to come into the studio and have a chat with us.
She sure is.
I also made contact with a lovely person called Julia Kiera. She's the assistant VFLW coach at Derebin Falcons and the player welfare manager at the Carlton AFLW. So she's going to have a chat to her later in the show. And, of course, you're welcome to join us on the dinner table where we discuss all the off-the-field antics and action of the AFL community.
So one other thing I was thinking, there's the signing up process, but if people just want to text us anyway.
Yes.
Just on footy related matters.
Correct.
Just to chat about things. It's 0427 Joy 949.
Not eligible for the prize though, if you only message us in.
No, that's correct.
I've got rules.
It costs money to join our competition. Now, but you will be supporting Australia's only LGBTI radio station, Joy 94.9. Now let's talk about the games It was a funny round.
Got to be honest,
I'm
guys.
I'm actually hurting.
I've been in bed for 10 days. I watched some of these games, but now I don't know if like some of it was a fever dream. So I might learn some stuff as we go along.
You'd want to hope your game was a fever dream.
Oh, mate. I remember that bit.
Adelaide Crows losing to Brisbane Lions by 1 point.
Anyway, let's get to that later.
Yeah,
well, we'll for a footy show, I was going to say that I watched about 30 minutes of football on the weekend.
That's all right.
In fact, I watched more of the old Geelong Football Club seconds team that I happened upon down in Albert Park with my nieces than I did of...
Did you say hello to our friend Nick Edwards from Vaffa?
No, I was looking out for him, but I didn't see him. Oh, I'm sure he's there somewhere.
Yeah, he's been a great friend of the show. He's on the committee of the old Geelong Football Club. So, West Coast Eagles, Demons. Oh, no.
Actually, I remember this is coming back to me now. I did watch this game.
I watched some of this game too. It was a good game up until a point.
Well, I thought Melbourne was going to win.
Yeah, well, they were ahead for a lot of the game.
It was really only the last quarter, and I think the last quarter really showed the difference between those two clubs and where they're at.
You've got to play four quarters.
And I don't think West Coast has a premiership hangover. People said they did, but I do not believe it because they looked pretty good.
Well, yeah, I don't think they've looked great, but I didn't think they looked great last year.
So has Gaff made a real difference to them?
I think he has. There's six on the ladder. That's not to be sneezed at.
And Willy Rioli came back in and kicked two goals. So that's... I know that because I put him into my AFL fantasy.
He took the most spectacular mark. I wouldn't be surprised if it wins Mark of the Year.
Oh, that was great.
It looked like a mark that you could not... it just didn't look humanly possible. There was about 10 people. He just kind of snuck in sideways. It was just, did this specky. It was just amazing.
Is the greater Rioli family the greatest football dynasty that we have in the AFL?
Well, they've all won grand finals, haven't they? Willie, Daniel and Cyril.
Imagine if you were in the
Rioli.
Morris. Mm.
And Dean Rioli at Essendon and Michael Long. So that's what I mean in the wider, the longs and Riolis. I mean, that's some dynasty.
That is some dynasty, yeah.
Imagine if you were a Rioli and you were really bad at football.
Awkward.
Awkward. One thing that did come out of that game, which I didn't like, was Nathan Vardy, the West Coast ruckman, taunting Max Gawn when he slapped Max Gawn on the back when
that.
Max Gawn was on the ground after Liam Ryan took the mark over him. And I did not like the look of that one bit.
And why did he do it?
Just to be like, ooh, mate, you know, like he just had this mark taken over the top of him. He was on the ground and Vardy was just, it was just a bit of a like.
It was patronising.
It was a bit of a dog act,
yeah,
I thought.
Yeah, dog act. It was. Now, quickly moving on to another game, Collingwood, St Kilda.
Again, St Kilda looked quite, this is all coming back to me now. It wasn't a fever dream. I did watch these games. St Kilda actually looked pretty good for a fair proportion of that game. But then again, you got to play four quarters.
Yeah, they played three. What happened to the Brisbane Lions and Adelaide? What happened there? I didn't watch any of this game. But Brisbane, I just want to point out, top four.
I mean, what world are we living in?
The weekend said that to me in many aspects, but...
Can I say, look, the Crows weren't terrible. They let Brisbane get ahead of them and they were lucky to lose by a point because Brisbane got about, I think, 40 points ahead of them.
And okay, they came back.
Or, like, I don't know if it was 40, but a decent number.
We'll add some fever into that comment.
Yeah. But, look, the Crows actually didn't play that badly. It wasn't a bad game to watch. It wasn't a great game to watch either. Brisbane, there was a bit of rough stuff, which you don't see a lot of. There was a bit of kind of pushing off the ball I didn't really like.
Mm.
But I've long said the Crows need to toughen up a bit, so I think it was good for them to have to, you know, get to their mate's defence. And I think Josh Jenkins is going to come back this week, and I, for one, am supportive of that.
Really?
I know. Haven't I changed my tune?
I know, because there was a photo of him in a Hawks Guernsey. Someone had photoshopped it.
Mm.
Photocopied it. And I wasn't happy about it.
No.
So is he coming back from injury or from...
From dropped,
from the doldrums.
But he's been playing well in the SANFL, I have to say. So I'm allowing him another chance.
I know, but I do feel like when AFL players suddenly have to play in the, you know, state leagues, it's... a bit unfair for the state teams.
Why?
Well, they're kind of better than the state leagues, but not good enough for the AFL.
Maybe people lift by inspiring.
Maybe they do.
Geelong beat the Bulldogs.
Geelong are good.
Yeah.
Jinx.
Yeah.
Collingwood and Geelong. I can't see a grand final outside of that.
No, it's hard at the moment. Bombers, you beat Freo?
Well, it was an interesting way to watch the television. I had the election on in front of me. Don't mention the war.
Mm.
And I had the iPad with the Bombers on it, sits wedged up on the couch, and then in my left hand I have my phone checking my AFL fantasy scores.
You had a lot going on.
I had a lot of digital overload then. So I didn't see, I mean, a huge amount of it. Excellent to have a win and good to have Joe Danaher back. But I don't know. It was good. Was it? Were we great? No.
Okay. Oh, North Melbourne got beaten by the Swans in Tasmania. The Swans supporters seem really happy with that, but I just feel like North Melbourne are
easy beats, though.
Easy beats, even in Tasmania.
The problem is, though, usually in Tasmania, they've been really good.
Yeah. I picked them. I thought that for that reason, I thought that's one place they seem to be able to get over the line.
Yeah, I tipped them too, and I would have got 9 out of 9 had they won, but let's not get resentful. Power Suns.
And did that pretty easily, the Power, in the end.
Yeah, that was easy.
But again, I mean, we talk about this every week, teams that confuse me. Port Adelaide, up there with teams that confuse me.
They're up and down, up and down. Tigers versus Hawks, I found this game quite painful.
I think we should talk about that after the break.
in graphic detail.
Lot of detail. No, because I was already in election pain and then I was in football pain. And then Giants smashed Blues by 93 points. What do you do? I mean, Brendan Bolton, he can't be keeping his job, can he?
Well, I don't think so.
I mean, you just can't.
But I don't know why he still has it.
Yeah.
Like, usually at this point in other clubs with other, you know, bad things happening, they've got rid of the coach by now.
Yeah. I think it's a bigger problem than the coach of that club, but we'll see. That's my two, Bob. Now, in a moment, Marty, who are we going to talk to?
We're going to talk to each other.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Because we're going to do dinner table.
Oh, we're doing dinner table next, that's right.
And, you know, we might, as I said, have a bit more of a chat about Richmond.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I think we should.
I'm going to talk to anyone, but not about that.
We might talk about Indigenous round. We might talk a bunch of stuff.
All right. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. And we have had a membership come in, Bechdel.
Ooh.
It's from Melinda in Port Melbourne. And the message is, I love Joy.
Oh, Melinda, you're now in the running to win not one of the great Joy prizes, well, you are, but as well as that, either North Melbourne signed jumper, Hawks Pro beanie, Rainbow's Crew scarf or Carlton Prize scarf.
Amazing. So, and look, there's just, you also go into the draw to win all sorts of amazing prizes. There's a trip to LA to be won. And that's including 2 return tickets from Melbourne to Los Angeles, donated by United Airlines, valued at $3,000.
That's a lot of money.
Top prize. 5 nights at Gay Ski Week Australia.
Oh, that sounds like a time.
I know, all inclusive.
Do you have to ski?
Alcohol. Well, who skis on ski weekends? I don't know. That's 5 nights, 6 days at Falls Creek, 3rd to the 8th of September in 2019.
Have you talked about the cruise?
Points of Difference donated that. That was valued at $5,400. Is there a cruise?
Did I make that up? Is there a cruise? Maybe that was another year.
What did I?
Oh, no, 13-day New Zealand cruise for 2. That's donated by our friends at Worldwide Traveller, valued at $3,700. That includes a cruise to and around New Zealand with a friend.
Do you know what I'd do if I won
or
that?
Both.
I would get off in New Zealand and not return.
At the moment,
and I would get my visa from Jacinda and pledge, you know, lifelong allegiance to her.
Oh, my God. Can she please be our Prime Minister? Anyway.
Can we talk about footy?
We can talk about footy. Now, welcome to the dinner table.
Dinner table.
Where we sit down as our family dinner time and we talk about all sorts of things, don't we? We just hash it out.
We do.
So I wanted to talk about, we actually got contacted by someone, a listener to our show this week, and his name is Jeff, and he sent a message, and I think it's worth discussing. He said, I find it very interesting the way the media jumped all over comments made about AFLW players' body and photo whilst playing football, e.g. Taylor Harris, when on game day, aired on 12th of May, Nat Edwards made a comment about Ed Curnow's muscles in a photo whilst he was playing football. Surely, like Taylor, Ed can go to his place of work without sexist, misogynist comments about his body. Nat, at the very least, should apologise for her comments about Ed, as well as the male community for her offensive remarks in a day and age where this type of thing is not acceptable. She should have known better. I wonder if this would be acceptable in the reverse situation. So, I just also want to point out, Steph Chiocci actually did a tweet about a week ago about a similar sort of thing. She said, am I the only one that is uncomfortable with commentators making reference to Jeremy McGovern's body shape? That's 2 weeks in a row I've had to listen to unnecessary and unflattering comments about his physique. Is any wonder we have kids with body image issues? Not okay, be better.
Mm. I saw that too, and I did the same thing, Fee. I marked that and thought that is a very interesting...
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things. I think, yeah, it's probably not appropriate to be perving on people's body when you're commentating football. Bex left the show. I kind of agree. Like, especially if it's unflattering comments or that kind of thing. I do want to say, though, when Taylor Harris talks about not feeling safe in her workplace, it is a different ball game, excuse the pun, in that, you know, I mean, we live in a country where 72 women were killed by their male partners last year. There's zero men killed by their female partners. You know, women were killed walking across parks last year. Personally, I sometimes walk home with keys in my hand just in case something, you know, just so that I've got something to defend myself with. That's not something men have to do.
There's context behind
it. Yeah, there is context with that. So when Taylor Harris says she's not safe, and I think the sexualized comments to her were specifically what men wanted to do to her.
Yeah.
There was also transgender comments that came out on that post. The level of offence and safety, I think, was a different ball game. However, I do think, yeah, probably not appropriate for commentators to be making comments about people's body shapes and muscles.
I think that's the main thing. Just going back to what you said about Taylor Harris, it's the trolling and the below the line. We talk about it commentary that happened for her that really, really crossed the line, rather than just a comment, you know, about muscles. I don't know. I'm not saying it's right. I agree with you. I don't think, certainly not commentators should be making, comment on how people look.
But I mean, I guess too, it's about context as well, because if it's, I totally agree that commentators shouldn't be making, you know, all pervy comments like, oh, have a look at that. And look, to be fair, I don't know what Nat said, but the other thing is that sports people's bodies are a machine, and they're a machine that they use for their, you know, sport. And is it wrong to admire the work that someone's put in to making their body the best they can? I don't know.
And look, football, you know, male football players pose in their underwear for advertisements and in sexy kind of poses for that kind of thing. So they're inviting that kind of attention in that context. I don't know. I think
Steph Chiocci's comment was really interesting, though, because you do hear that a lot about Jeremy McGovern, basically kind of comments inferring that he's overweight almost, which, I mean, he's an AFL footballer and one of the best defenders in the competition. Like, I think he's fine.
Dane Swan used to get that a lot.
Correct. But, you know, like, she's right. No wonder we have kids with body image issues. That's not just a female issue.
Mm.
Body image is an issue for men as well, and young men. So I think we should all potentially check ourselves before we wreck ourselves a little bit on some of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, interesting discussion. Okay. So we have had a couple of memberships come in.
Oh, please.
Because it is our special Radiothon edition. Mikey from Mentone said, I love chicks talking footy. And... and then we also had a message come in saying from Brad, I'll let you know if you have to ski when I get back from the ski trip. Thanks, Brad.
Well, I'm presuming that Brad has already signed up or renewed on another program.
Yes, and also Susanna from Elwood. I wonder who that is. Are you trying to win your own prizes?
Yeah, you two can go in an arm wrestle to see who comes on the cruise with me.
That's right.
Yeah. We can't win prizes.
No, we can't.
We're exempt from prizes because we are volunteers of joy, but...
I did check that just before we came on air with
just
Rachel,
to be sure.
And I was slightly disappointed, I've got to say.
Well, we'll just have to pay for the gay trip.
Don't forget our four big footy prizes we've got to give away.
That's right. Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah, North Melbourne have given us a team signed Guernsey. We'll be talking to Jay DeMont from North Melbourne in just a moment. And Hawthorn Football Club have given us a Hawks Pride beanie.
We have a Rainbow Crow scarf, and we have a Carlton Pride or a Carlton scarf.
Carlton Pride scarf.
Is it a Carlton, Pride scarf?
Yeah.
Carlton. Yeah, so get on board, people.
And you could win. Excellent. We'll be announcing, by the way, the winner on the socials later in the week.
Yeah, we sure. Now, where are we? We're doing more dinner table?
Yes, yeah, so you have something to bring to the dinner table, don't you, Noddy?
And I think you'll be surprised to hear that it's something that is annoying me. Yeah. I've become you, Beck, in your absence.
You have.
So mine is called The Commentator as the Star, a.k.a. Kane Corns Shits Me.
Don't even get me started.
Okay, just to put him in some sort of context, Kane is an ex-Port Adelaide player. He was a tagger and a very good one. By nature, they're nuggety and unrelenting type players and generally people as well, or in his case, certainly. He's now become a commentator. He thinks the sun shines out when he bends over. And he,
that's such a nice way to put it.
He's taken to, in my opinion, he's taken to... he's moved on from commentating on just players' abilities or lack of abilities or things like that, and he's gone into a slightly personal field. And the example I'll use is with Dangerfield on the weekend. Dangerfield, you know, one of the best players in our modern era, hurts his ankle, got a little moon boot on and is, you know, hobbling around after the game. And Kane has a go at him in one of his media outlets and says something along the lines of, he's got to stop that. You know, he's getting a name for himself. He'll be fine next week. I'm thinking, well, how do you know?
And he was always like that, and everyone at the Crows knew he was always like that, was his kind of story, I'd never heard before.
And I watched something today and he said he's playing for injuries.
What?
And it doesn't even make sense. Like, so that he's saying he has these faux injuries, then he comes back on the field and he's fine and he kicks goals and they win or something. So what?
Good, isn't it?
I just don't understand why Kane's taken...
Yeah, he's doing a bit of a Sam Newman, trying to be...
He's pulling focus.
And I think there is a problem sometimes with the media about that, that the media wants to be the story rather than telling the story.
Totally agree.
And that gets us nowhere.
So that's the that's my little Kane Corns Shits Me rant.
Okay.
No, thank you, Molly.
Well, thanks for bringing that nice piece of dessert.
I know, it's so charming, isn't it?
To the table. So we're on the Radiothon show. You can join on joy.org.au and become a member of our station. And or you can donate if you've got the wherewithal to do that. It's $250 for passionate supporters, family $124, full membership $84, concession $42, and under 18 $22. Or, of course, you can make a donation that is tax deductible, I believe, but don't quote me, I'll find out. And you just joy.org.au/members, or you can phone in 1300 Joy 949.
And you can also, you don't have to just join up in our show. It goes, I think you can sign up all the way till maybe Saturday. And you can
You can sign up whenever. But
you can sign up whenever, yeah. We'd love it in our show. But, you know, don't fear if you haven't got near your little keyboard by 19:59 tonight.
Although the major prize is drawn on the 31st of May, 6 p.m.
Yes, so that's drive. We're the 22nd yeah, now, so right. We're right to go.
So next Friday you've got to go to. All right. Now, in a moment, we're going to be talking to Jade DeBont. She's the Diversity and Inclusion Manager of the North Melbourne Football Club. And we'll be chatting to her about a whole lot of things. We can thank her for giving us the North Melbourne team sign Guernsey to give away on tonight's show. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9 for our special Radiothon edition.
Woo!
And you're with Fee and Moddy and Beck.
That's me.
And we have a very special guest in the studio, which we'll talk about in just a moment. However, Moddy, we made a bit of a stuff-up, didn't we?
Well, when you say we, I've got a community service announcement
straight
in the
Brad.
Form of apology. Basically, we've given you the bum steer. There is no trip to LA to be won. It's already been won. There's no... Five Nights at a Gay Ski Week Australia to be won. It's already been won. But however, today you could be winning the 12-week money makeover.
I could do
that. Valued at $1,200. Yeah. Major prize is the New Zealand cruise for two, and the major prize for the whole of Radiothon is $10,000 Hampstead dental voucher.
But also the other four major prizes are all our footy prizes that you are eligible if you sign up during our show.
Confused anyone?
Yay!
Yay! Yes. Alrighty.
Every new and renewing member also receives a $100 car service. From City Jeep, and a $200 dental voucher from Hampstead Dental.
Well, I've already signed up, so my teeth are going to be sparkling for next week's show.
And a bright gay teeth.
Now, let's get on to footy again. We keep getting distracted.
Why not?
We are lucky enough, and it is a great thrill for us. I think we get a bit overexcited when we have a guest in studio.
Oh, I know.
We have Jade DeBont, the manager of diversity and inclusion at the North Melbourne Football Club. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello.
Yay.
Now, we met you last week, Jade, and it was probably within 24 hours I was already on to you. Hey, do you want to come on the show? I'm so glad that you could. It's a perfect time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So, I read out your role, diversity and inclusion. So, can you tell us a little bit about what that entails?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a bit of a buzzword at the moment, diversity inclusion, but what it means to the football club is that, my role is creating safe, welcoming and inclusive environments for everyone. So, I really just work in the community to build junior football clubs to make sure they're educated and they're aware of some of the challenges that young people are facing in terms of entering footy. But also I'm working in our gender equality strategy. I'm working with a Reconciliation Action Plan, working in Pride, all abilities space, you know, every area of diversity and inclusion. Yeah, just a small job, hey? Yeah.
And you're playing centre half back as well?
Oh, God, no. I'll leave that to the big guns. But, it's really just about welcoming people into our game and making sure they feel like they belong.
Why does the club think that's important? Like, why do you need to have your role in a football club?
Oh, there's not many of my roles in football club, to be honest. North is probably one of the first clubs to have a manager of diversity inclusion. The reason that it's important to us is really because we've noticed that people don't actually always feel safe and welcome and that they can belong. And when you're looking at a sport that is so nationally recognised with, you know, massive participation numbers, why can't people feel like they belong? Why can't people feel like they can get involved? So really it's important to the football club that there's someone out there on the front lines that is, you know, trying to change this narrative, and not just the narrative of the people that are feeling, you know, that they can't be included, but, you know, the narrative and the way in which we talk about footy for the people who are already involved, because, you know, to be honest, sometimes we're the perpetrators, and we've got to deal with that as well.
Yeah, now I know one initiative, actually, when we were at Witten Oval last week for the Northwest Pride Night, Ida Hobbit Day, or the night before Ida Hobbit Day, you know, the Bulldogs have gender-neutral toilets, which has been something that's been really important for our gender-diverse community.
Yeah,
I know North Melbourne have got the same sort of initiative. What response have you had to that? Because I know at times there's been a bit of a backlash in some spaces.
I think, the footy club, we've got to get a bit better at telling our stories, to be honest. And maybe we haven't got much backlash because we haven't told that story to the people or broadcasted it a bit more broadly. But really, I guess the gender-neutral toilets came out of the fact that we have a number of people in our footy club, and what we were finding is, down near the sports scientist's office, there was a male toilet, but you know, one of our head sports scientists is female, and she had to walk upstairs to go to the bathroom. So, in order to change that, we actually just had to change to gender neutral toilets downstairs. So, I guess it wasn't really part of a broader revolution. It was more just that evolution and the nature of our footy club that by becoming more inclusive, by having a gender equality strategy, we were going to do these things. And then we're also part of the City of Melbourne kind of gym facility in North Melbourne, and they have female toilets, male toilets and gender neutral toilets, which is really just kind of an all-inclusive toilet. It's all abilities space as well. So, I know that people face challenges around this and they get backlash, but we, to be honest, haven't really experienced it.
No, that's good. I think you've done a lot of work to create that community kind of vibe. And I know I was down at a Blue Ruse event.
Yeah.
And what's that hub called? It's the there's a hub that you like a community hub you've
the
got.
The Huddle.
The Huddle, yeah. And there was lots of great stuff going on in there. What's some of the programs and things that are happening at the moment?
Yeah, so, oh my gosh, we do so many great things in the Huddle and I could probably talk about it all day, but the Huddle is really a space where young people can belong in the community. So we work with all young people, but really people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds tend to come to the Huddle. So we run study support every night for kids between the ages of 12 to 25. We do civic participation, we run leadership programs, we do sport and rec programs in-based as well as externally based. There's going to be something that I've forgotten, digital literacy. So we run all of these programs, but probably the most exciting thing is our coordinator of social cohesion, Naz, she looks after women and families, and we're actually going on a girls' camp for 3 days in the coming month, which I'm so excited about. So that's probably the biggest thing that we're doing that I love, but there's so many things.
So do you have to be, if you wanted to join the Huddle or take part in some of what the Huddle offers, do you have to, one, be a supporter or follower of North Melbourne? Do you have to live in the local region?
No. It's the Huddle is really open to everyone. The joy of that facility, mind the pun, we're on joy. but, you know, it's for everyone. However, we tend to get people who are local to the area because, you know, we're in walking distance, we've got computers there, people can do their homework. But, yeah, it's a space for everyone. So if you want to catch a tram down or a train or whatever it is, it's come in. You don't have to be a supporter. It's, you know, the Huddle's not about that.
You include everyone, even people from other teams.
Yeah, even Hawks supporters. <right?
laughs> So you're really probably quite a leader in that way, the North Melbourne club is.
Yeah, I think, look, every football club probably says they're the leader, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess I like to think that we're the leader, particularly around inclusion for new and emerging communities. I mean, we've got a program, True North program, and we have 30 of our AFLW and our AFL men's players, and they're mentoring 30 individual young people from new and emerging communities. And I just sit back and I'm like, that is amazing. It is so phenomenal that we can offer that through the Huddle and through our programs and talk about leadership and resilience and build capacity and capability of those kids. So, you know, I guess we can say we're the leader, but I'm sure there's so many other amazing programs that are running within the AFL that, we could talk about.
We did talk to a multicultural liaison officer from the Crows, actually, last year, and she said it was the people that, you know, had migrated to Australia but got involved with football had actually statistically a better chance of assimilating and, you know, becoming part of the community and that kind of thing, because I guess they've got something in common with everybody that's here.
Yeah, I mean, for us it's probably not so much about assimilation as it is about celebration. Like, we really value each individual's unique characteristics and qualities. So I guess we're just about trying to make sure that every person feels like they're included and they belong, so that, you know, they don't end up going down a different path or a harder path. And, you know, we support through our Next Generation Academy and different things like that, support younger people who are struggling in areas of their life as well. So the minute someone's struggling, we don't disengage.
So we're chatting to Jade DeBont from North Melbourne Football Club about diversity and inclusion and what North offer in this space. So just, you were talking about the mentorship, some AFLW players and AFL players. So that was one of the good things I was keen to ask you, was are the men's and women's team, you know, joining in certain programs or stuff? And you've answered part of it.
Yeah.
Do they train? Do they share facilities? Do they share any training nights?
Absolutely. So we're actually one of the first football clubs that I'm aware of that has created a AFL integration strategy between our male teams and our female teams. On the basis that we believe it's really important that everybody feels equal and included. So we had 8 of our male players and 8 of our female players come together before we had our AFL women's team before the 2019 season, and really they just sat down and hashed it out. What would it look like? How's the gym space going to be shared? How are we going to show their achievements equally throughout the club? We've got a male-dominated history. How do we make sure that, the tiling and the murals at our club is going to transform into something equal? The biggest thing I think we've done is we custom built an AFLW facility that is exactly the same as the men's. So if you go into the male locker rooms, if you go into female locker rooms, they're exactly the same size, they're exactly the same look, apart from a few tiles being slightly different. And the reason we did that is because everyone is equal, and that's what we want to champion.
That's an excellent thing to do.
That's great. Yeah.
I not wanting to thrash someone, but there was one of the teams put a lot of pink through their scarf in their first AFLW season. I thought that's just a mistake, in my opinion. Yeah. Don't pink up the women's.
No.
Guys, I feel really awkward because I'm falling a bit in love with the North Melbourne Football
Club. I know. What do you do?
And I don't know what to do now.
What do you do?
But it's near my house, so maybe...
You're having an emotional affair.
You can have a second team.
Yeah.
No. Beck's team is interstate, so...
That's
maybe
true.
You can have a...
And I have to walk past Arden Street to go to the supermarket, so that works out for me.
And you can do your homework at the huddle now.
I might, yes.
You might. Well, hope North Melbourne... start winning some games soon, because you're winning off the field for sure, and we really appreciate the work that you do. We think it's really important. So thanks so much for coming into studio tonight. We've also had a donation come in that says, "Great work, chicks," from Brett in Parafield Garden, South Australia. We've gone national.
I reckon that might be Brett from the Rainbow Crows.
I think it might be Brett from Rainbow Crows.
Maybe he wants to win back the scarf they donated.
They donated a scarf. Now Brett's trying to get it back for free.
Well, I think Brett might unfortunately win the Carlton one.
You can donate that to a friend.
We're going to win their number one draft pick.
You too can go in the draw to win a Hawks beanie, North Melbourne team sign Guernsey, a Carlton Pride scarf, or a Rainbow Crows scarf.
Wow.
One of those. We'll be back in a moment. We're going to be talking to Julia Kiera from Darebin Falcons and Carlton Football Club. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. We just had a great chat with Jade DeBont from the North Melbourne Football Club. And you're with Fiona, Motti and Beck tonight. We make up the Chicks Talking Footy team. But we have a very special guest on the show tonight. Her name's Julia Kiera, and she's from she's the assistant VFLW coach at the Darebin Falcons. She's also the diversity manager at the Carlton AFLW, or the welfare manager at the Carlton AFLW team. Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy.
Ah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. Now, Darebin recently played Melbourne Uni in the Pride Cup last Sunday. How did that all go? Did you win? What was the vibe like? Did you have a big turnout?
Yeah, it was actually quite a big turnout. We didn't win, unfortunately, but it was a great game. We lost by a few goals, but it was really high scoring. The vibe was great. Pride round is always great. It's the first time that it's been in Melbourne. The last 2 years it's been out at Hamilton, but Melbourne Uni hosted it this year. And yeah, it was a great day. It's such a great way to kind of advertise how inclusive our sport is.
Julia, obviously there's a lot of Pride games, and they've been going on, I guess, for a couple of years now in a big way. Why do clubs like Darebin think it's important to have those games and showcase the Pride, I guess?
Yeah, well, I think we do it for every little girl and boy that feels like footy isn't a place for them, I think. I think that it's pretty powerful to see women playing the sport that they love, but doing so... wearing a rainbow jumper and talking about inclusivity, talking about it. I think we need to make those messages really loud sometimes. We need to say it over and over. We need to put a shoulder around people that don't feel welcome in our... we need to put an arm around the shoulders of people that don't feel welcome in our sport, and a pride round does that. I don't think we need to convince anyone inside our club that, diversity is great, but we get to role model that to other people.
And I guess it's a visual as well. So to have the jerseys and to have the flags in the stands and to have those things like that does create a visual connection.
Yeah, it does. And I think perhaps not for our club, but for clubs around the country to see, you know, a jersey that might be associated with a particular type of culture then look rainbowified is quite striking. It's quite a striking kind of visual for people that might have grown up around that club to see that it is really trying to move forward in a particular space and trying to literally wear it on its sleeve.
So, yeah, well, we're a big fan of the rainbow. You definitely don't have to sell that to us. But since 2006, Darabin have won 8 premierships. That's the correct number. So does it get boring? what motivates the team and a club to go through such a, you know, sustained period of success? And how's the club also adapting to, you know, a lot of the VFLW teams merging in with other clubs? I think Darabin's one of the only clubs left that's a team that stands on its own.
Yeah, well, we're the only one left that's a standalone club. So we won 10 grand finals between 2006 and 2017. Yeah, and so what made... Well, motivating... Well, winning is motivating, like I don't... but I guess over the last few years, you know, it's our competition is completely different. Mm. The last grand final we won was in 2017, and the 2018 competition was, you know, was unrecognisable because we had the entry of, I can't remember now, but a lot of AFL-affiliated teams. So Essendon came in, Melbourne Uni are amalgamated with North Melbourne now. We had Melbourne play their Casey team. You know, and so there are just so many more teams, and the teams that we traditionally played against at our level, Diamond Creek, Eastern Devils, St Kilda Sharks, unfortunately couldn't field a team at VFLW anymore because of how steep the cost was, essentially, and they were priced out of the competition, and it's been big traditional men's clubs that have taken those licences over. So it's been a big transition. We're now kind of up against the machine, you know. We've been working in this space where men's clubs didn't really care about us for a long time, and now they've kind of tried to take it over. So that's the battle, but we're doing pretty well to stay in it and in the mix, and that's our point of difference now, is that we are the last standalone club. We're run by women. We're a completely we only field women and teams for women and girls. So that's what attracts people to us now.
So, Julia, we were at the 2018 AFLW season launch, and yep. At that launch, each AFLW captain brought along someone that inspired them.
Yeah.
And we saw you on the stage because Daisy Pearce chose you. So what is the connection between you two, and, you know, are you friends or...?
Yeah, so Daisy's been involved with Darabin, I think, from 2005. I came along in 2010, so we were teammates for 4 or 5 years. I became president of the club at a time where she was captain of the club, so we kind of had a lot to do with each other. So, yeah, we're friends, but we've also kind of had to do a lot of leading of the club at times. And she brought me up because I had cancer, and that some people find that inspiring.
Well, that you've overcome.
Which is a bit cynical of me. That's why that kind of happened at that point in time. So that was very flattering. Daisy has, you know, as we know, is off raising her 2 beautiful little people, so hopefully I'll get to see her soon.
Yeah, great. And you're the welfare manager of the Carlton AFLW team?
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
How's your role there evolving and what's involved?
Yeah, so, well, it's off-season now, so I don't have a huge amount to do, but, I guess at Carlton I was called the welfare manager. At other clubs it's called PDM, a player development manager. So I was just kind of responsible for looking after welfare needs of the players. So it could be anything from, a more kind of counselling, psychological help type thing, or to refer them on to someone if that was identified as a need, and it might have been around a variety of topics. Or it could have been more, you know, nitty-gritty you know, just helping people get into uni and fill out forms and look at jobs and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that was my role at the time. So it's off-season now. It's quite brutal in terms of how intense AFLW is, and then it just all kind of grinds to a halt. So I'll be looking to re-engage with them when AFLW starts up again in November.
Awesome. Well, Julia, unfortunately, we're rapidly running out of time, but in 10 seconds or less, tell us about your special event that's on tomorrow night.
Yeah, so go to the Darwin Falcons Facebook page and you'll see our event, Pride, Our Untold Stories of Women's Football. There's a few tickets left. Myself, Darcy Vestio and Paddy Kinnersley, who's the CEO of Our Watch and a former Falcon, will be talking about the role of queer women in footy. So come along and see if you can get those last few tickets.
Yeah, make sure you do check that out, because it's going to be a great night celebrating women in football. And also it's raising money for a club that is, you know, in need of funds to keep standing. So thanks so much for your time, Julia Chiara. And yeah, we get points, hopefully, for pronouncing your surname
that
correctly.
Excellent. Well done.
Okay, thank you. And and good luck and well done with everything that's going on with the Falcons.
Great. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, we've had some great guests on Chicks Talking Footy tonight. There's, so much great inclusion going on in many clubs. We've got a quick community service or community notice board announcement, don't we?
We've got that for sure. Go ahead, Beck.
Oh, thank you, Monty. I'm glad you asked. Well, this Sunday is Stand Up Events Move in May. Stand Up Events is a great organisation run by Angie Green, who we've had as a good friend of our show for a number of years. CGU's Move in May is an event for anyone that believes in equality, regardless of sexuality and or gender, and is a celebration of all people and a day in celebration of Ida Hobbit. It is this Sunday, the 26th of May, 2019 at the TAN. Go to the Stand Up Events website to book your tickets. It's a great event. You can walk around the TAN. There's music. A lot of the ambassadors for Stand Up Events are there. A lot of footballers. Olympia Valance from Neighbours will be in attendance. I have clarified that. There are drinks, food, you name it. It's there. Get along.
Will Beck and Fiona from Chicks Talking Footy be there?
Beck is there every year. Yeah. But
Beck does not do
Beck
the walk.
Does not
she
do the
sits
walk.
At the bar, doesn't she?
I support Fiona. I'd buy a ticket.
That's right.
Well done. So get along, as Bex gave you all the info, but it's standupevents.com.au, I think.
Just go to the Stand Up Events Facebook page. Right. You'll find
you'll
everything
find
you
it
need.
There. Standupevents.com.au. So now the other thing about this weekend's round is that's interesting is Indigenous Round. So it celebrates, as we know, you know, all our fabulous Indigenous players. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, the Long and Rioli families, you know, have made a huge impact. Beck, you read an article that you said that was great about the Guernseys.
Yeah, have a look. I think it was on The Age, and it was really interesting to see who the clubs had designed them. They were generally someone from the club. Andrew McLeod designed the Crows one. Shelley Ware from Mangrook designed the Carlton one. A number of them were families who were synonymous with the club. And I really enjoyed reading the stories, like for example, there was a lot of them that had the totems, like each player from their, I don't want to use the wrong terminology, but their cultural group has a totem, a symbol, and the totems of a lot of the players are incorporated on there, and they're really, really great stories to have a read. And I think now, having read that, when I watch the games, I'll feel a bit more connected to what they're wearing.
That's good. I'm going to do that. The sort of the big, the most visually dominant Indigenous game this weekend is Dreamtime at the G on Saturday night. And even if you're not really into either of those teams, it's a spectacular sort of 10 minutes or 15 minutes prior to the game. It's just beautiful and chilling, and it's really well worth flicking on the telly if you can to have just a quick look at that.
Yeah, that game's just amazing. The Long Walk as well.
Oh, yeah, the Long Walk, Michael Long's Long Walk, which has now been, I think, 15 years he's been doing that.
Yeah, it's a long time, but you can walk from, I think, Fed Square down to the G with everybody, which is really lovely.
Because the first one went to Canberra, so that's they won't be doing that.
No,
it's a slightly less long walk.
Yeah, it's a short long walk. But you've been listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. You can still become a member at joy.org.au. Sign up, renew, donate, and we'll announce the winners of all of our respective prizes on our socials during the week.